Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and a very good afternoon to you. It is Rabbi Michael Katz here, and we are on Judaism 101.9, and it's great to be in your company and to share some thoughts with you this afternoon on that topic of Judaism 101.9. Yes, we try to stick to our topics here, and we try to keep it within the realm of what Judaism 101.9 is all about, which is to brief you on the things that are current, things that are going on in the world and that apply to us from a Judaism point of view, from a Torah point of view, from a halacha point of view, and from a behavior point of view, as well as thinking about some of the things that perhaps you've forgotten about Judaism, some of the things that you may never have learnt at school, etc., and to try and provide you with some added information. It's not meant to be all exhaustive. It's not meant to be on the Parshat HaShavua, because there are other shows on the Parshat HaShavua. It's not meant to be on the history of our Jewish people. It is meant to be just a It's meant to be just an overview, a broad spectrum of things that are of interest and things that perhaps we need to know about Jewish attitudes, about Jewish ways, about things that are Jewish, about Jewish traditions, about our customs, etc. That's what this show is actually all about. And so let's begin by thinking about the fact that each day in our weekly prayers, in our daily prayers, each week, we say a psalm every day at the end of the davening, at the end of our shachrit prayer service. We say a psalm that pertains to that particular day of the week. And yes, the days of the week have a relevance. We know this from all the way back when Hashem created the world. There was a reason why certain things were created on certain days. And of course, most people know the wonderful adage that we have about a Tuesday. It became a thing about a Tuesday is the favorite of all the days of the week because it is a day, shehuchbal bo kitov. It's a day on which Hashem said twice that it was good. Now, if you remember correctly, when Hashem created the void, the vacuum, the space between heaven and earth, the space between the spiritual and the physical world, the idea of space, the rakia, was a division. And it was on that day, which was a Monday, that Hashem did not say that it was good. Hashem doesn't like division. Divisions aren't a favorite part of Judaism when people are divided, where we're not united, when we're not together. Division, not so great. We didn't say, or God didn't say, that it was good. But twice on the next day, Hashem said it was good. It was the result of kind of more of the world coming together, and therefore it's gone down kind of in the annals of Jewish tradition that a Tuesday is a preferred date for a marriage. Shehuchbal bo kitov, there is a double goodness on that day. And we could think about it in terms of the goodness of the chosan, the goodness of the kala, and so on, that the bride is all good, that the groom is all good, and that their union, their coming together as a couple is ultimately so good, and that we have there the idea of huchbal bo kitov, that it is a double goodness that we have in the idea of a Tuesday. What about a Wednesday? Well, today is Wednesday, and when we think about Wednesday, you know something unique about Wednesday. The sages tell us that it's on Wednesday that we actually get into the idea of Shabbat, of Shabbos. The Shabbos that's coming up actually begins, for all intents and purposes, after Wednesday. You know, in Jewish, in Yiddish, they talk about Wednesday as being Mittwoch. It is Mittwoch. It is the middle of the week. It's midweek Wednesday. So Tuesday kind of pertains to and could be argued that it really belongs to the previous week. But from Wednesday, we really get into the run-up of preparations for Shabbos. Now, every day actually is a preparation for Shabbos, and that's why when we say that tefillah, when we say that psalm at the end of davening, as we said, each day, we talk about it being Hayom Yom Rishon Bashabbat. We talk about it as being not the Rishon, not the first day of the Shavua of the week, but rather Rishon Bashabbat. We're talking about it's the first day of the Shabbos, of the coming Shabbos. Second day, Yom Yom Sheni Bashabbat. We talk about it as being the second day of the Shabbos of the week, but pertaining to the Shabbos. When it comes to Wednesday, of course, it's Yom Yom Revi Bashabbat. But in the psalm itself, interestingly enough, in the psalm itself, there is a hint at the coming Shabbos, because the psalm actually has the verse Lechuna Ranana. Lechuna Ranana, which everybody knows when you walk into shul on Friday night, that's what the Chazan strikes up with. That's what we begin our Kabbalat Shabbat with. Lechuna Ranana, come together. Let us praise. Let us sing to God. Shabbos is coming. Shabbos is about to dawn upon us. And Lechuna Ranana is embedded in the psalm of Wednesday. And so from Wednesday, we really begin in earnest the countdown towards Shabbos. And this coming Shabbos, of course, is the Shabbat Mevarachim. We are going to bless the new month of Kislev, the month of light, the month of the overpowering of our enemies, the month of the Maccabees, of Jews and Judaism and Israel, and the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, not only coming towards and having that light, but actually the triumph of literally the few over the many, of good over evil, of light over darkness. That is what we are beginning with already on this Wednesday in the build-up to the Shabbos of Mevarachim, where we start to bless the coming new month, which will begin in earnest in the early part of next week.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and welcome back. Yeah, I don't know how many times I have to correct him. It's Judaism 101.9. I mean, you would think that we would get that right. Judaism 101.9, not Judaism 101. Although I suppose you could get by with it. Not going to complain too much. But anyway, we're back with you, and it's wonderful to be in your company again and to have you with us listening, as I hope you are, on this incredibly strange kind of weathered day here in Joburg, here on the Highveld. But perhaps it's because of this. Do you know that the day today is Erev, the 27th day of Cheshvan? Today is the 26th. The 27th day of Cheshvan has a unique place in Jewish history. It's the day on which the flood officially ended in 2104, before the Common Era. Yes, it was on the 27th of Cheshvan in the year 1657, from creation, in other words, 2104 before the Common Era, that the earth dried, completing the 365-day duration of the Great Flood that wiped out all life on earth, save for the 8 human beings and all the animals, at least 2 of each species, in Noah's Ark. And on this day, Hashem commanded Noah to come out of the Ark, repopulate, settle, and civilize the earth. Isn't that amazing? 27th of Cheshvan, tomorrow, the day on which the flood ended. Yeah, it looks like if you look outside, a little bit black and a little bit dark and thundery. No, not going to be another flood, but tomorrow is the day on which we commemorate the anniversary of the end of the flood. Now, there's another very fascinating date coming up, and that is on this Shabbat, which will be the 29th of Cheshvan. It is the day on which we commemorate in the year 2008. Yeah, so we go back to 2008. In the city of Mumbai in India, there was a terrible series of terrorist attacks that hit that city. Believe it or not, this coming Shabbos, 2008. So we're going back all those years to Mumbai. It seems like it was much more recent, but it's been some time. So starting on a Wednesday evening, it was then, and going into the Thursday and the horror that unfolded, it left close to 200 people dead and scores more injured. One of the terrorists' chosen targets was the local Chabad house, known as Nariman House. It was operated by the Chabad Lubavitch emissaries, Rabbi Gavriel Noach, or Gabi, and Rivki Holtzberg. And in the subsequent standoff, which continued until Friday afternoon, Gabi and Rivki and several other Jews in the Chabad house, Rabbi Ben Zion Chroman and Leib Teitelbaum, Norma Rabinowitz and Yocheved Orpaz, were killed in cold blood. May Hashem avenge their murders. And miraculously, the Holtzberg's 2-year-old child, Moshe, was saved by his nanny. And of course, we all remember those incredible scenes first of all, the terror and the horror, and then the amazement at the fact that somebody got out of there alive. It was all kind of freshly stirred up, of course, during this past week with the terrible news of the murder of a Chabad shaliach, of a Chabad rabbi, in Dubai. Now, not Mumbai, but here, Dubai. But yes, there is a common thread, and the common thread is that both the Holzberg family as well as the Kogan family were shluchim meaning representatives of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, representatives of Chabad in their particular post, in their particular city. The Holzbergs in Mumbai doing what they were born to do, to be emissaries of the Rebbe, to be shluchim, to be there for other people, to run programs for people, to run personal private counseling, and to try their utmost to bring Jews who pass through their city, pass through their home, their Chabad house, their hands, to bring them closer to Judaism, to goodness, to kindness, to unity. Everything good was what they stood for in Mumbai, and likewise, everything good was what the Kogans stood for in Dubai. Very harsh, very difficult news to bear, and very, very unsettling to think about the fact that here are people without a political agenda, not people bent on anything other than trying to bring goodness, kindness, chesed, Torah, Yiddishkeit, Judaism into this world, as hopefully Chabad emissaries do all over the world and are renowned for, creating a home for Jews and, might I say, for non-Jews alike. Perhaps that was what really upset the world, or upset the Jewish world, certainly, in the murders of the Holzbergs, the fact that in Mumbai they even reached out to some non-Jews, and it was perhaps through spies coming in that the terrorists actually knew of exactly how to go about finding them and being in their premises, because they'd been there before, some of them, or advisors had been there before. Really too hard to really get your head around that here are people doing nothing else other than bringing goodness, kindness, wonderful things into the world, and that they are taken out in such a way by the evil of these satanic, terrible, terrible people who really have nothing else but evil, hatred, murder, torture, all sorts of heinous things on their minds, if they have minds at all, to try and undo the goodness that these wonderful people stood for, and were bent on doing. And yes, while the world is shaken up, of course, all those years ago in 2008 by the terrible, terrible murders of these great people, here we had the murder of a rabbi at his post, doing what he knew best and doing what he was sent there for, which was to provide kosher food, to see to the religious framework of people passing through Dubai and Abu Dhabi and wherever else he operated in the United Arab Emirates. And incredibly heart-wrenching to have to see this played out all over again. And then even more so when one looked at exactly who he was in terms of his family relationship. He was actually married to a niece of Rabbi Holzberg. Yes, the Rabbi Holzberg Sr., father of Gabi Holzberg, who buried his son in 2008, was present for the burial of his grandson by marriage, Rabbi Kogan, just the other night in Israel, in Yerushalayim, in Mount of Olives. Tragedies beyond tragic and beyond what one could fathom or could even think about. But when one thinks about the timing, and one thinks about the close proximity of these events, one thinks about the closeness of the family, one thinks about the fact that these were both Chabad emissaries, shluchim of the Rebbe, to these far-flung places. One thinks about the fact that here you have the shluchim of Chabad on literally on the front line, not only in protection of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, as our soldiers do so bravely and nobly in Israel, but here in these far-flung places, in Mumbai, in Dubai, all over the world, where they are at the forefront of Judaism and therefore seen, unfortunately, by the forces of evil as being the front line of everything good and positive that we stand for and that we want to stand for, and that we as Jews everywhere want to know is our truth, and it's our emes, that's our Torah, our mitzvahs, that's really what we are all about. And so, how do we turn this into something positive? How do we turn this around and make it something that is beautiful and wonderful? Perhaps it all lies in this timing. As we go into the month of Kislev, as we're nearing Shabbat, as we're getting closer to the coming of Mashiach, we need to make sure that everything has a positive energy and a positive spin. It's hard to bring positivity into such heinous and terrible things, but the way that the Rebbe taught, and the way that the Rebbe wanted his emissaries, his shluchim, to think about it, was that right now we are going through this terrible grief and this terrible tragedy, but at the same time we need to focus on the future. We need to do something positive in his honor, in his merit. Well, yes, of course, in his place of shlichut, in the place of his shlichus, they're going to be establishing organizations, they're going to be building buildings, they're going to be doing all of those wonderful things in his memory and in his honor, so that his life's legacy and his shlichut and his way can actually continue through those who will follow in his footsteps and through those who will be there. But we too can and need to actually try and emulate something of the positive energy that we can and we should and we need to try and do in a positive sense in our Judaism, each one of us perhaps taking upon ourselves another mitzvah. And if we feel that we're doing all the mitzvahs, perhaps to improve in our performance of one of the mitzvahs, perhaps to think about the fact that here was a rabbi who had a supermarket of kosher food, perhaps it's in the area of kashrut, perhaps it's in the area of goodness and kindness, perhaps it's just in Ahavat Yisrael, in loving our fellow man just a little bit better, and perhaps it's in the realm of sending out a message of positive energy, of positive things, of mitzvahs, of dedicating ourselves a little bit more to our Torah study, and bringing that light that is waiting to descend, that light of Chanukah, and that light of Kislev, and that light of the month that we're about to go into, and that light of every mitzvah, and the light of every word of Torah, because we talk about our mitzvahs and our Torah is ner mitzvah v'Torah or, we talk about the light, the candle of the mitzvah, and the light of Torah. Yes, this is our way to turn things into positive energy, to do positive things about it, not to just sit back, bemoan and bewail our fate, and think about the terrible tragedy that it was and that it is. And of course, yes, there are funds for his bereaved widow and for her family and so on. All of those things we need to participate in, we need to be part of. But in our own lives, to turn our negative view, the view of darkness, into one of light, and perhaps that's the time that we're in. The flood came to an end, and Hashem said, get out of that ark and go, Noah, and now populate the world, inhabit this world, and bring the light of goodness and kindness into a world that was flooded because of its darkness. And let's think about now turning out of the month of Cheshvan and going into a month of Kislev, into a month which begins in earnest, really, on this coming Shabbat. But if, as we said, we bring it forward a couple of days to when Shabbos starts feeling like Shabbos is coming, is already on a Wednesday, Lechuna Ranana, where we start heralding the arrival of Shabbos, this is a time when we are already beginning to feel the effects of the month of Kislev, the effects of this month of light that we're about to go into, and the triumph of the few over the many, and of good over wrong, of good over evil. This is our time, and this is a time to pick up the energy that we need to do and to keep on moving forward.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, yes, and welcome back. Well, we're talking about perhaps things that go on in the world, and isn't it amazing that today we are witnessing, seeing something that we had hoped for a while, and that is that there is on the northern border of Israel a ceasefire. Now, what does a ceasefire mean from a Jewish point of view, from a Torah point of view, from our point of view, and from Israel's point of view, perhaps? And of course, I'm not the expert on the politics, and I'm not the expert on Israel, but the one thing that I have been around long enough to know is that when the world starts shouting for a ceasefire in that region, it usually means that Israel is winning. It usually means that Israel is on top. If you look back at all the wars the past, whether it was the ones that certainly that I remember, 67, 73, and so on, every time that Israel gains the upper hand, the whole world comes down on Israel and says, ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. When it goes the other way for a little bit, everybody's quiet. It's quite an amazing thing. But needless to say, and the fact that it is quiet, and the fact that there's a possibility that in some time in the near future, the people of the north of Israel can return to their homes and get their lives back on track after a full year or more than a year of this terror and the psychological warfare and all the damage that has been done. And of course, the tragic and terrible loss of life every time one sees another soldier that has been lost. It is a whole world, and it is devastating, it's heart-wrenching, and it really hurts us deeply. But when one hears of the fact that even if it's for a temporary while, that there'll be a little bit of peace and quiet. You know, the cynics who always said that there was war in Europe and people were fighting and battling for the years of the Second World War, and then the idea of the fact that there was eventually an armistice and there was eventually a peace, and the joke that people made about it was that there, you know, everybody comes to a standstill at on the 11th of the 11th at 11 o'clock. Things stand still, certainly in England and Europe and so on, when they commemorate armistice. And they said, well, for 2 minutes every year, there's been peace in Europe. It's like an amazing thing, but people unfortunately go to war and they fight, and there are differences of opinions. When one hears of the fact that at last there is some semblance of quiet in those areas, and that people are not and being hurt, on certainly on our side, it is something that one thinks about in terms of a bit of a turnaround, and it starts feeling a little bit better. And who knows, perhaps this, of course, has all got to do with the inauguration of a new president that in the United States that's coming up in January. Of course, everybody is tittering a little bit for that, hopefully much more on the other side than on the side of reason and the side of goodness and the side of truth. But a momentous day, of course. And we think about momentous days in terms of the fact that on this coming Monday will be the first day of Kislev. Yes, Rosh Chodesh actually is coming up, and it's going to be on Sunday and Monday. Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the last day of the month of Cheshvan, will be on Sunday. Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the first of Kislev, on Monday. And it was on this day in 1977 that for the first time since suffering a major heart attack 5 weeks earlier, which happened on the eve of Shmini Atzeret, the Lubavitcher Rebbe left his office in 770 Eastern Parkway and returned to his home, signaling his recovery, and Hasidim all over rejoiced at this good news. And from that day on, the Rebbe redoubled his efforts on behalf of the Jewish nation and all of humanity, and for the dissemination, of course, of Torah and Hasidism. And from then on, the first of Kislev was celebrated as a day of thanksgiving and rejoicing, despite the fact that, of course, the Rebbe physically is not with us in this world. His presence is felt so much through his chassidim, through his shluchim, and of course all over the world, including places like Dubai and Mumbai. And redoubled efforts is the Rebbe's message, particularly on the day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. It was a time and a period that, of course, was chosen for the famous Kinus HaShluchim, and there are many of our emissaries from South Africa and around the world who are gathering as we speak for the Kinus, for this great convention coming together of thousands of the Rebbe's emissaries from around the world, culminating with the grand banquet, which is going to be taking place on Sunday night on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And of course, we all look forward to that. Be back with you right after this.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
When Hashem created the world, he created the world. The first thing that he created, of course, was light. Or Hashem said, let there be light, and there was light. But there wasn't really light, because the sun and the moon and the stars, the luminaries, were not created until later on. So what was that light? We're told that Hashem put it away for the future. What does it mean that he put it away for the future? One of the opinions is, of course, that he put it away for the festival of Hanukkah. Yes, believe it or not, it occurs on the 25th day of Kislev. 25th day of Kislev is Hanukkah, and believe it or not, the 25th day, or the 25th word of the Torah, if you start from the word Bereshit and you count the words, 25th word is Or. First time that Or, that light, is mentioned is the 25th. So it was put away for the future. This is it. We're now coming towards that time of the future. We're coming towards Hanukkah. We're coming towards the time of Mashiach. We're coming towards a time of great light, and may that light please come, descend upon us, bring peace, tranquility, and all the wonderful things that that light, that glow of goodness, will bring into our world. So we want to wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbat up ahead. It is Shabbos Mevarchim. It is the Shabbos on which we bless the new month of Kislev, and we look forward to the light that it heralds, that it will bring. I want to wish you well for all of these events and for all of these things, and please God, for a great rest of the week, a great Shabbos up ahead. Look forward to being back with you same time, same place next week on another exciting episode, of course, of Judaism 101.9.